You're so welcome to Open Arms Church. For those who don't know, my name is Sean Booth and I'm the pastor here. And I'm really excited as today is our full reopening of Open Arms in Newbridge in County Kildare. Come on. If you're watching in Newbridge, give us a massive shout. So good to have you and great to have our building open to the public. We've got 5 services today. Hopefully you still meet all of us by the end of it and we're all still alive. But we are continually waiting on the updated government guidelines for our Dublin location. We hope to reopen very, very soon, but just ask that you continue to keep up to date on our social media platforms, also our website. We'll make sure to be updating you every single week of all of our service times, the changes, and of course, the locations. But today is week 2 of our series, Good News. You know, our TVs, our phones, radio, social media has been filled with constant bad news these past 6 months. News that can cause us to be upset, to be frustrated, to be disappointed, even now not knowing what's going to happen next and what it's going to look like. But I believe that God says, I have good news. Yes. That in God's word, he is good news. It's found through the gospel of Jesus, and it can be alive and active in our lives and in our hearts. And together we're going to go on a journey through the book of Colossians. And it is a short book in the New Testament, only 4 chapters long. And it's filled with such hope and truth and strength and sustenance for our spirits and our souls. But also it gives us very practical principles to apply to our life and to live by. So I want to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1, verses 3-8. And the writer of these words we're about to read together is written by the Apostle Paul, who wrote over half of the New Testament. And he's writing to the church in a town called Colossae. And this church community was a new community. It was a passionate community. It is growing and it is flourishing. And it's led by a man called Epaphras, who is a fellow minister who worked alongside Paul. And so Paul is writing to this community. And he says in verse 3, he says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people." Last week, we looked at the good news is that the gospel is alive. Yeah. And that as Christians, as bringers of the good news, it is both heard and seen. Yeah. Through our lives. The gospel is heard through our faith in action, and it is seen through our love for others. So that means that the gospel is both spoken and shown through our words and our works every day of our lives. And Paul continues that they are praising God because they have heard, verse 5, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. That word gospel is important. In the original Koine Greek in which Paul would have used, the word that he would have used for gospel is euangelion, which is directly translated to mean good news. So Paul is saying that this gospel, this good news is true. It is truth. When you hear it and receive it, it is truth. And he continues, in the same way, the gospel, the good news, is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. Verse 7, you learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. So here's the title of my message today. Good news, the gospel is true. The gospel is true. It is neither fake news nor false news, but it is true news. Yes. It is news that you can place your trust in. Yes. That you can believe in, that you can place your hope and your joy. Yes. And your peace in. And Paul's purpose of writing this letter to this new congregation that is growing, that is passionate, that is forming their faith in Christ, he writes to them for a number of reasons. Firstly, to strengthen their faith. Secondly, to re-emphasize the good news of the gospel in which he's talking about here, and also to ensure that they know and they believe the truth, the true message of the gospel, that their doctrine and their beliefs would not be compromised by the culture of the world, and would also not be compromised by the religious legalism that can seep into the church and was seeping into many of the early Christian churches and still does to this day. And Paul's hope was that this church, this congregation, would remain in the center, neither to the left or to the right, but into the center of their faith, values, and beliefs, and particularly, and most importantly, in the center of Christ, that they would neither listen to and believe fake news that's full of half-truths, mistruths, and manipulating the truth to make it feel like it's a, you know, your gospel, and this is what I believe. Neither did he want us to believe false news, that our salvation is somehow connected to what we do and how we do it and how good we are, how good we become, because that is false, but that they would listen to and believe the good news, the true message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So today we're going to focus on one verse that we're going to go deep into, and that is verse 5. So let me read it again to remind you of it, that Paul is celebrating here. He's giving praise to God. He is highlighting the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. The New Living Translation says it like this: that the faith and love which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. So the truth, when we hear it, when we receive it, it produces within us a faith and a love that originates from the hope that is reserved for us, that is stored up for us, that is waiting for us in heaven. That upon our earthly death, we will spend the remainder of our days for eternity in the presence of God in heaven. Now, this so spoke to me this week in study. It struck me because we can easily just move on from that. We can just brush past that, but just stop for a moment and think about it. Think for a second. If this really is true, it is mind-blowing. It is transformational. Like, can you imagine on the 6-1 news, breaking news, Brian Dobson with a smile on his face, reading out the news saying, this just in, everything's going to be okay. Even though the world is falling apart, even though it feels like the earth is collapsing, we don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. It's okay. We can chill out because there is a place being prepared for us that will be full of eternal joy, eternal peace, and we'll be eternally in the presence of God. You see, the world may feel like it's ending. The earth may feel like it's failing us. We may not know what's going to happen one day to the next, thinking that the earth is coming to an end, but our hope is not in this world. Our hope is in Jesus. Our faith, love, and joy does not originate from here, but is it stored up for us in heaven. For thousands of years, you know, probably more so today, there has been a continual pursuit of happiness. It's what drives us towards consumerism and materialism and a search for more. We are searching for that one thing that might make us feel content. It may make us feel happy. But the truth is that true, genuine joy and happiness cannot be found on this earth. That's right. But it is waiting for us in heaven. Yeah. It is stored up for us in heaven. Yeah. Jesus has reserved it for us in heaven. Now, don't you ever stop and think how ridiculously crazy it is how we spend our entire lives worrying about our time here on earth, worrying about the riches and possessions that we store up, worrying about what people might even think about us. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he said that our riches on earth will rust and decay. He said, do not store up your riches here on earth, but store up your riches and your treasure in heaven. What is this heavenly treasure? Well, Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. our heavenly treasure is every spiritual blessing, even more than we could ask for, think of, or imagine. So when Paul says here in Colossians 1:5, he says the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up from you in heaven, he's saying that the source of your faith, the source of your hope, the source of your joy doesn't come from what you have on earth, but it comes from what is stored up for you, the hope that is stored up for you in heaven. How did the Colossians receive this hope? Well, when they heard the true message of the gospel that was taught to them by Epaphras. This is important. Epaphras, a man who fell in love with Jesus, become a disciple of Jesus, and then decided, I'm not going to hold on to this hope for myself, but I'm going to bring it to my community. I'm going to bring it to others, and I'm going to share this same hope so that others may too fall in love with Jesus, and it will produce within them a faith and a love like never before. I want to encourage us. Let's not hold on to the hope that we have, but let's share it with others. So that they too may be able to share in the hope that is found in Jesus. Yeah. I'm a big believer in taking care of our environment and looking after our planet and setting up the next generation for success. But even more so, I believe that we should build the kingdom of God here on earth that will stand the test of time, that will strengthen and sustain the next generation, that will give them what they need to get through life, and that will be a source of new life and salvation for as many people as possible, so that others may hear the hope that's found in the true message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, I believe that we too, like Paul, like Epaphras, like the church in Colossians, should devote a large portion of our time, energy, and money to be devoted to building the kingdom of God here on earth, to share the gospel with others so that they too may share in the hope that's waiting for them in heaven. Now, I'm going to say something that's controversial, all right? I want you just to get ready, prepare yourself. Are you ready, right? Because if this is true, and we believe this, and this excites us, building the kingdom of God here on earth, then shouldn't we give our money towards it? Yeah. I know you're like, Sean, you had to pick this one week that we're reopening the church to mention the M word that gives us the nerves, that gives us the bejeebies. But stick with me for a moment, right? Because I really believe that God wants us to teach us something important through this scripture. If the gospel is true, if heaven is real, and we together hold the hope that's found in Jesus, that's freely given to others, and it's freely received, shouldn't we give a portion of our finances toward building a church in a land that is more lost, more hopeless, more anxious and depressed than ever before? And I know that the church and the gospel, it won't meet all of your needs. It won't fix all of your problems. It won't answer all of your questions. But it will give you one answer. And that answer is found in Jesus Christ. Amen. It will fix one major problem, the sin problem that you have that can be solved through salvation in Jesus. It will give you the need that you have, the eternal need of hope and joy and peace right here on earth and for eternity. You know, it dumbfounds me that those in the world and many in the church, not our church, of course, but many in the church are very happy with seeing billions and billions being poured into marketing, advertising, and producing false products under false pretenses, promising to people that it will give you what they want when they know it is an absolute lie. But if you mention money in church, and if you talk about giving money to the church, people have a conniption. They freak out. They go, "What? How dare you?" Anger rises up within them, almost as if the church should reach the world. The most important mission that Jesus ever gave to us, to be his disciples, to be commissioned to the world, to see people come to know Jesus as saved for eternity, that we should somehow do this without any money. And with few resources.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That, yes, it doesn't make sense. Well, listen to this. This is not me in any way trying to convince you to give money to the church. We're not going to take up an offering after this. That is not my motivation whatsoever. But I'm trying to get you to stop for a moment and to ask the question. Because as Matthew 6 said, as Jesus says, where your treasure is, yes, there your heart, yes, will be also. Yeah. If the gospel is truly alive, and if the gospel is true, and if you, like me, say, I believe that it's real. Mm-hmm. I believe that heaven and hell is real. Mm-hmm. I believe that when you place your faith in Jesus, that you receive hope and salvation, not just here on earth, but for eternity. And if we don't, the result is that we'll spend eternity in hell. If this is true, if we really believe it, because if not, well, then we'll just finish up here and we'll all go home and go about our lives. But if this is true, then why would we not get behind it 110% and begin by just tithing faithfully 10% of our finances? Now, if you know me and you know my teaching, you know I do not speak on this subject very often. I try and stay away sometimes from these controversial subjects. But as I was studying this scripture, I really felt that God laid it on my heart to speak on this, to share this, because I believe that our world needs the gospel. Yes. More now than ever before. Our world needs the good news, especially in this season that is daunting. This season that people are looking for answers, they're searching for hope, and you and I have that hope, and somehow we hold on to it. Somehow we hide it before because we don't want to be embarrassed. We don't want to be ashamed. We don't want to offend others. But what happens if Jesus is calling us to live a life that's outward, that somehow sometimes can offend many and yet can speak to many? What if we just stepped out and said, you know what, I'm going to put myself forward. If I believe this is true, well, then I'm going to step out and I'm going all in. But what holds us back? We look at us as we are human beings. We've got all our own faults and failures. What holds us back? What restricts us when it comes to this? Why is it that will happily spend our money and give our money to large multinational corporations like Coke or Zara or Ford or Apple or Microsoft or Lidl, but not in the church? And you know why? This is going to be difficult to hear and to receive, but I really feel that God is trying to teach us something here. It sounds quite obvious, but I believe that it is true and it is the truth. Why do we struggle with this? Because when we do, we get something in return. When we spend our money and give our money over for these things, we get something in return. But when we give and when we tithe to the church, we don't get anything in return. And for many years now, there has been many pastors and leaders and churches who have stood up in front of their congregations and said, if you give, you will get. And if you give more, you will give greater riches than ever before. And it is a bunch of lies. It is not true. It is not the truth. But I do believe when we are obedient to God, when we're faithful through every area of our life, even in our giving, we do receive blessing and favor, but not necessarily in monetary forms. We may not even receive it until we are in heaven. There's this spiritual blessing that we receive through Christ because of our obedience. No, when we give, we don't get. But here's the good news. When you give your money to a church that is above reproach, that has structure and accountability, that stewards and manages their finances well, that uses those finances to expand the kingdom of God and reach people for Jesus. When you give to this kind of church, someone else gets the return. Someone else receives through your giving. Maybe it's a young child who's growing up in church and learns how to follow Jesus and follows them for the rest of their lives. Maybe it's a young teenager who's gotten in with the wrong crowd, but falls in love with Jesus through the church youth ministry and decides to change their ways. Maybe it's a single mother who receives love and support through their church community, especially in time of need. Maybe It's a struggling marriage on the brink of divorce, but they are touched by Jesus like never before, and they renew their vows within the church. Maybe it's a son or daughter who's been caught up in sin and is leading towards a life of destruction that ends in hell. But through the church, they hear the gospel. They decide to repent of their sins and follow Jesus, and their eternity is changed forever. I want to give towards this kind of church. I want to be a part of this church. I want to give to others so that others may receive the gift, so that others may receive in return everlasting life. I want to give not for anything in return, but so that others will get the return. Now, I know what you're thinking, Sean, why did you have to talk about money and giving, especially on today? And you know why? Because if it wasn't for the church, I wouldn't be following Jesus.
Yeah, me too.
I was not interested in God at all. I wanted to do my own thing, live my own life. But we started going to church when I was 5 years old. And from 5 years old through Sunday school and growing up in kids' ministry, I learned about Jesus. I learned about the Bible, but I still hadn't got the interest right up until I was 17 years old. And I remember the time one day where everything changed. I experienced the presence of God in worship. I was moved through the sermon in which the preacher was speaking. And I remembered in that moment all of the promises of God, all of the words of God and the scriptures of God that I'd learned from 5 years old right up to that day. And in that moment, I committed to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. From that day until now and until forevermore. You know, if it wasn't for the church, our family wouldn't be together. It was through a pastor counseling my parents as they were going through a separation that he shared the good news with them. He shared the hope with them that can be found in Jesus, that they can receive new life and salvation, not just here on earth, but for eternity. They gave their lives to Jesus, and it was through the church that they were discipled, that they grew in him, and then they committed to give their lives to also be a part of building the church so that others may too have that same experience. If it wasn't for the church, my wife wouldn't be here. She was on the wrong path, leading towards destruction and possibly death. But through the church, she heard about Jesus. She was able to see what it meant and what it looked like to follow Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus, to grow in Jesus, not to mention meet the most incredible man who she married 13 years ago. And now together, we're committed to raise a family that follows Jesus, who serves the church, who dedicates our lives so that others may too have that same experience. You see, Jesus Christ and his church radically changed and transformed my life, my family, my wife's life, and our family for generations to come. Amen. The question I ask is, what about you? How would your life be different if it wasn't for the church? If you hadn't received the hope of the gospel, if you hadn't seen and heard what it's like to follow Jesus, that it wasn't modeled for you, that you read about it, you maybe even heard about it on TV, but you never saw it physically in the flesh modeled for you. You hadn't a community of believers that were surrounding you through the good times and the bad. What about those in your life who haven't yet had this experience? What is your hope for them? Is it that they too may experience the love of Jesus, experience freedom and salvation where they spend the rest of their days on earth and the rest of their days for eternity in the presence of God? Now, I don't want to just give my money. I want to give my life to this mission. Jesus doesn't want our treasure. Mm-hmm. He wants our heart.
Yeah.
And he says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Why do I give my life to this? Why do I give my treasure to this? Why do I give my heart to this? So that others may receive life change through Jesus Christ. So that others may receive a return on what I have given. and so that others may see and hear the gospel through my life, through my actions, and through my words, knowing that I believe in this. I believe that this is true. I believe that others too can experience the hope that I have. And I want to say to you, open arms, you are a representative of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You, as a housewife, as a business person, as a nurse or a student or an engineer, in your workplace, in your community, in your extended family, you represent Jesus. Yes. The gospel can be both seen and heard through your life and your words and your works and your actions. Together, we can be a part of this, building the church in Ireland, the kingdom of God, both collectively and individually as the church. That when others see and hear the message of the gospel, just like they did in Colossae, just like it says in verse 5, that in others that the faith and love that is originates from the hope stored up for them in heaven. Let's not hold on to this hope, but let's share this hope with others that they may hear the hope that's found in Jesus. And I finish with this. Can you imagine the impact that we could make together? Can you imagine how we could change the world? If we each continue and commit to invest our time, energy, and money in building the church in Ireland. You know, for many people, have a fear and a worry of going back to church and into crowds and into the community. And I understand that and I respect that. But there's many others who have become so comfortable in the convenience of having church at home. They've almost rediscovered having their Sundays off and have their Sundays back. And you know what? If your life is about just receiving, be settled. Enjoy. But if you want to be someone who gives so that others may receive, if you want to live a life that makes an impact on others, why don't you come and be a part of a community that is building and is growing and is committed to bringing the gospel, the good news, to our world? Not just individually, which is also important, but also collectively, together, as the church. Let's choose, rather than just storing up our treasure here on earth, pointing at the mess and saying someone should clean that up, why don't we get together? Why don't we commit to being a part of cleaning the mess up in our world by being the change we want to see?
Amen.
What if we really challenge ourselves? That if this really works, there really exists a heaven and a hell. Do I want to spend my life just creating something that lasts on earth that will one day rust, rot, and decay? Or do I want to spend my life creating something that will last for eternity? How can we do this? By committing to build the kingdom of God here on earth, starting in our home, starting in our community, starting in our workplace, starting here in Ireland, seeing people give their lives to Jesus, crossing the line of faith from death to life. Do you want to be a part of changing the world? I believe that we can. But it starts with us, and it starts now. Maybe you've never heard the true message of the gospel. Maybe you've never had the opportunity to receive the good news, the true good news, not fake news or false news, but true news. In very plain words, the gospel, the good news, is that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to be sacrificed upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And through placing our faith in Jesus and confessing our sin, turning away from ourselves and allowing him to become the Lord and Savior of our life, it says that we receive everlasting life. That means that when we pass from this place, which we will, that we'll enter into heaven for eternity in the presence of God. Right now, if you never gave your life to Jesus, if you never made that commitment, I want to give you that opportunity right now. I want to invite you to pray a very simple prayer, a prayer that I prayed once, a prayer that my family prayed, a prayer that my wife prayed, a prayer that many of us here in this room prayed. A prayer of surrender, and that is significant. Would you just pray with me and repeat these words? Jesus, I'm drawing close to you. I acknowledge that you are my Lord and my Savior. Come into my life. Lead my life. Forgive me. Heal me. And help me to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, I'd love for you just to take a moment and go to openarms.ie/connect. And there you'll see a very simple form in which you can just fill out your details and tick the relevant box in, I'm committing my life to Jesus. We want to connect with you this week, and we'd love to meet you and see your face at Next Steps. It's going to happen very, very soon, and we'll contact you about the details of that. But as we get ready to enter into our final song of worship, I just want to pray for you and pray over you. What I pray that for each of us, in our own spheres, in our own seasons, and what we're going through, battling through that, struggling through that, what I pray that we would not be so fixated on our own problems and our own lives that we would lift our heads and say, I don't want to be just someone who receives, but I want to be someone who gives. I don't want just to be someone who has hope and holds onto that hope, but shares that hope with the world around me. God, would you reveal to each of us right now in this moment how we can do that practically, how we can love and encourage others around us through your generosity and through your love and compassion for others. I pray, God, that we would be the change we want to see in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.